The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I really would love to see LSU win that game. As much fun as Tua is, I'm sick of Nick Saban. I'm sick of Alabama. I'd like to see somebody knock them off their perch. I just don't see much of a chance of it happening.
Alabama's played 1,269 games in the history of their program. Alabama quarterback has thrown for four touchdowns in a game 13 times. Four times in eight games, it's been Tua. Isn't that crazy?
What do you think he has to accomplish in order for that first round pick to be worth it?
I think the Cowboys need to make the playoffs. If you make the playoffs, right? It's not the end of the world that you gave up your first round pick.
Are his numbers going to go up with Dak Prescott versus Derek Carr?
Probably not.
I do think teams overvalue draft picks a lot of times. I think it's one of the things that's kind of changing in the NFL. But if you're the Cowboys, you anticipate picking in the 20s. Well, would you have been able to get Amari Cooper with a 25th pick or 23rd pick?
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number three. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at my name Jong, at Degenerates975. And you can't text the show today. Sorry, for some reason the text line not working. Also, at Brad Powers 7, since Brad's going to join us here. Was that RJ I heard in there, John?
Yeah, I think, RJ's in the room with him.
Oh, okay, because RJ's a legend, we know that. But so's Brad, and I guess Brad just finished up with their big show again, and always appreciate you taking time for us after you've just done the big show with RJ.
Ah, it's always a pleasure. Are we getting into really the sausage here going game by game? Something we don't always cover on the national show, but I got to be honest, guys. Show we just did. We've been doing it now six straight weeks. I think today's show is the best we've ever had on Straight Out of Vegas.
I'm going to listen to one of those. Yeah. Okay, let's say I'm new to. I don't listen to podcasts. If I were going to listen to a podcast, would you recommend the weekly podcast that RJ does, or just listening to a Straight Out of Vegas?
That's a great question. So it kind of depends on what you're looking to get. You're looking for more of a broader picture, and I don't want to use the word dumbing down, but I will. If you're looking for generalities, I would say more Straight Out of Vegas. It's more for the novice because, let's face it, half of our listeners, we have found out, don't even bet, but they want to hear the Vegas take. Now, if you want the meat and potatoes of a handicap, why we like a specific college game or an NFL game, then I'd recommend the long-form podcast, whether it be the NFL or college football.
RJ's accused me of stealing from his podcast the last couple weeks, so I may actually do it one of these weeks.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm gonna listen to... today, since
which
Brad
one's
on
shorter?
Straight Out of Vegas.
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna listen to Straight Out of Vegas.
There's some podcasts that go 2+ hours. So,
I can't.
Yeah, if you want 40 minutes, definitely do the Straight Out of Vegas show.
Okay, that's my plan then. That's what I'm gonna try out. All right, let's get into some of these games. And Fred and I both have, we each have a game that we like a lot this week. Mine is kind of off the beaten path. I like Louisiana Tech quite a bit against Mississippi State. You can go back to when they played LSU and they covered against LSU a smaller number than they're getting against Mississippi State. I have no idea why the line's going the way it is. Mississippi State's in the worst situational spot they'll be in all season long. What is happening with this number to make it go towards Mississippi State? And what would stop me from just hammering this game?
Well, I'm not going to stop you because, you know, Louisiana Tech's probably one of my favorite picks of the week as well.
Perfect.
It's something I gave out on the College Stream podcast. The only concerning thing to me is the line movement going against me. Normally, that's not necessarily the case, but you mentioned a variety of factors why I think there's value with Louisiana Tech. Number one, motivation. Mississippi State's off LSU, off A&M, Alabama's on deck. Are they going to be highly motivated here? Nah, I got to question that. Louisiana Tech, they've proven themselves against the SEC. Last couple of years, what, a one-point loss against South Carolina, one-point loss against Arkansas. Earlier this year, against a superior LSU team, Louisiana Tech covered, outgained LSU, and was a three-point game late in the second half. I really like the Bulldogs here. They're 21-7. Last 28 times they've been a road dog. Skip Holtz, the head coach, normally plays up to the level of competition. It's one of my favorite plays of the week. I'll take Louisiana Tech plus the big number here.
Yeah, I just couldn't get past that game. And Louisiana Tech's two losses, one to LSU at LSU. The other one's UAB, and UAB's been fantastic all year. I don't think they don't have a bad loss yet. I think that's a pretty good football team.
Very much so. And don't get enough credit. And look, maybe everyone's buying Mississippi State after that big win over Texas A&M. That game really only came down to three or four plays, and they were coin flip plays that all came up Mississippi State. A couple of touchdowns on third and long. They're backed up, third and 20, get an 84-yard pass, and then obviously intercept Texas A&M late in the end zone when A&M was driving for a possible tie. I even thought last week's game was misleading for Mississippi State.
There's two teams, I think, that were hot garbage for most of the first half of the season, and they've kind of at least started to make it seem like they're trying to turn their seasons around. And both of them are teams that a lot of the guys that I talk to are on this week. And I'm still just not ready to jump on the bandwagon with these teams, but they're Arizona and Nebraska. Arizona, it's even more difficult for me because I lost a bunch of money with them early in the season when I foolishly thought Khalil Tate was still Khalil Tate. And now I've been off of it for a while, and now people are telling me, well, maybe he's back to being Khalil Tate. But I've got to give points with them. At least with Nebraska, I'm getting 18, 19 points, albeit against a pissed off Ohio State team.
Yeah, I mean, here I'll break down the two games. We'll start off with the Ohio State Nebraska game. You know, I get it. Nebraska's been getting money, and it's just not this week, but multiple weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back to the Wisconsin game where that line moved 5-6 points. The line against Northwestern moved. So it's not the first week that Nebraska's been getting a lot of money here in the marketplace. I just don't like the spot here. I mean, Ohio State is coming off a bye. Urban Meyer's the best coach in college football with extra time to prep in his career. He's 37-13, not straight up against the spread in season openers, off a bye, and in bowl games. 37-13 against the spread. I get it. There's some health issues with him possibly. But the last year Ohio State got crushed by Iowa on the road, what did they do? The next game they had their best performance of the season. They hammered Michigan State. I think you get a motivated Buckeye team here. I'll take the Buckeyes minus the points. Arizona, Colorado, to me, it's more of a question mark. I get it. You're not ready to buy Arizona yet. Khalil Tate did look like his best performance of the season. They got a good running back, J.J. Taylor, ran for 200 yards. To me, it's more of a sell against Colorado. What's their mindset? They're up 31-3 against Oregon State last week. Blew that game. You believe in ESPN's win probability. They had a 99.8% chance of winning that game. Somehow they lost it, and now they're traveling on the road on a short week. I lean with the Arizona there.
A couple games that I wanted to ask you about. I got this at 13.5, Houston at SMU. It's now, I think, 14.5. It's gotten back as high as 15 or 16. This UH offense just destroys people. I know they're not very good on defense. I know SMU's shuffled quarterbacks back and forth. And I know Houston is trying to get style points now. I love them at 13.5. What number should I back off on?
I would probably back off of them now. And look, I'm not going all in on SMU because I got some question marks on them. How do they rebound after that overtime loss against Cincinnati? But they did show some things there. It was obviously Cincinnati having to kick a field goal and then getting that, you know, 86-yard interception return touchdown in overtime for the win. Does SMU pick themselves off the mat against an in-state rival here? But you're right. I mean, De'Ara King, the Houston quarterback, I mean, you guys are well aware of him. I don't think the rest of the country is. I can make a case that King's performance last week was maybe the best performance out of a quarterback this season. 400-plus yards passing, what, 5 touchdouns, and then he ran for 100-plus yards, 2 touchdowns, exposed South Florida. I lean with SMU, but obviously you got a good number there at 13.5.
Yeah, I mean, he's been good all year. He's got like 5 interceptions, I think, for the entire season. The other game that I'm kind of curious about is Utah State has just been a scoring machine, and I don't know that I like the number against Hawaii. I think it's getting a little big for me, but I sure like the over 71.5 because I do think Hawaii at home can score enough to get me to that number. You got any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I'd lean over. I get it. If you're leaning towards Utah State, you got to like the over, laying that kind of number on the islands. The only question mark I have, Hawaii's offense, you're right, hasn't shown a lot of, I would say, explosiveness the last couple of weeks like they did earlier in the season. This is their 11th straight week of playing for Hawaii, and I just am worried that they're running a little bit out of gas. But that might be a positive on the defensive side of the ball because, let's face it, Utah State can put up 50 in a heartbeat. And they put up, the 50-plus point performances multiple times already this season, including last week. Hell, they had 52 points at halftime against New Mexico. If you're going to bet this one, I do recommend the over more than the side.
How low does a total get before you start to think, man, this is too low for a college football game? Because I've already punched buttons, so you can tell me, and I'll just feel like an idiot. But I'm on Air Force Army under 44. And I'm on San Jose State, Wyoming, under 42, I believe. And, I mean, those are obviously really small numbers. But these teams, I feel like the Army Air Force is always an under game. They stop each other's – they know how to play against each other. I mean, they know the offense, which means they practice against it every week. But the San Jose State, Wyoming, I thought I had a surefire lock in the Wyoming under last week, and then somehow there was like a million points scored in the fourth quarter, and I lost that that over. But San Jose State is so bad, and Wyoming's offense is pitiful too. I just don't see how anyone scores in this game.
Yeah, I prefer the Air Force Army under because of what you mentioned, familiar with the style of play. A lot of unders when you have two service academies, two teams like to work the clock, they can stop it, can't throw over the top. I prefer that under more than anything. I got a couple concerns about the Wyoming-San Jose State game. Number one is Wyoming's change of quarterback. Why did they show a little bit more offense? They didn't for the first three quarters, but once he got settled in, Sean Chambers, the new quarterback, was decent throwing it. He completed 70%, only 10 pass attempts, but he gave Wyoming a run threat out of that quarterback spot, something they haven't had here recently, and ran for more than 100 yards. That would be my concern. And San Jose State's been kind of wishy-washy. They'll have a game where they can't score at all, or they'll have a game like they did last week where they put 50. I'm not really confident in San Jose State. I'm confident when they're playing a legit good defense, it's going to be tough for them to score. But I have seen them show some potential in being able to put up some points this year.
Notre Dame's at Northwestern this week. And I was talking to Fred earlier about Northwestern. This seems like a spot, like a bad spot for them, because Northwestern doesn't really care about winning this game, because at this point their focus, I would assume, is still on winning the Big Ten West, and this game has no bearing on whether or not they win the Big Ten West. Notre Dame, obviously, their motivation is a little easier to figure out. They're trying to play for a national championship. The number is getting up around a number where I'm not crazy about it. Once it gets past 9.5, I'm not crazy about it. But do you see that same thing with Northwestern? Is this a spot where you could see them just kind of laying off, so they've got it all ready for next week?
Yeah, maybe I'm on an island, but I don't. I get it that the conference matters to them, But are you kidding me? You got Notre Dame at home. First time Northwestern's hosted the Irish on campus since 1976. And to boot, you get an undefeated Notre Dame team in the top four of the polls. I think they'll be motivated. They've certainly been motivated against Notre Dame the last two times they played them. Outright upset win as a 4-touchdown and 18-point underdog, both outright wins for Northwestern. Three trends in Northwestern's favor here. Number one, if you just blindly bet the underdog in Northwestern's last nine games, the underdog, you're 9-0 against the spread. So Northwestern, clearly the dog here, 9-0 last nine games, the dog in Northwestern games. Notre Dame usually struggles after Navy. Why? Navy's option offense. Unique. Sometimes it takes you another week to get back in the swing of things. And number two, the reason being that they struggle after playing Navy, the Irish, is that a lot of times they're banged up. That's the case this week. Linebacker Tranquil is one of their best players. Got an ankle injury. Why? Because you're dealing with cut blocks for 60 minutes. Notre Dame 3-11 against the spread last 14 games after Navy. And finally, when Notre Dame has expectations, and they got them here in the month of November, last 4 years, Brian Kelly, 3-14 against the spread. So you're paying a premium with the Irish. I like Northwestern this week.
So would you say Notre Dame is sort of they're an exception to the rule of, I mean, because normally if you said Northwestern is in the race for the Big Ten, they're sandwiched between Wisconsin and Iowa, you would assume a non-conference game would normally be that's a play spot or a fade spot. But you're saying Notre Dame, there's sort of an exception with them being the kind of program that they are.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. The fact Notre Dame is, 80 miles away from Chicago. So you're dealing with some recruiting battles every now and then to a high academic schools. Northwestern's been recruiting quite well here as of late. And it's Notre Dame. And they're unbeaten. They're not struggling. Yeah, if it was someone like Florida State or a Florida school that's got a big name brand, yeah, I would say this game doesn't mean much to Northwestern, but geographically speaking, and just that, Pat Fitzgerald was a linebacker when they went into South Bend and beat him when he was an All-American in the mid-90s there. I think he's still got an axe to grind against the Irish.
Couple more to ask you about. We've kind of figured out with Texas, if Texas is favored, you bet against them. If they're underdogs, you bet for them. There are 2-point favorites against West Virginia this week. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, you're right. Tom Herman, the head coach, 4-15 against the spread. And you guys are well aware, I mean, he didn't perform quite well as a favorite as last year at Houston. But I don't know if that trend really qualifies here because you got to get a line that's close to pick them. What I took, my biggest takeaway from the Texas game and the disappointment last week, I just thought Ehlinger looked rusty in the first half coming back from injury. Once he got into the swing of the game in the second half, they were playing much better on that side of the ball. I don't trust Dana Holgorsen in this spot. He routinely struggles against ranked teams. I lean with Texas here, -2, but I thought the line would come out 3, so not a strong lean for me.
Another one that I think is just kind of fun because both these teams have been so awful all year and we basically bet against them all year. Rice is actually a 1-point favorite this week against UTEP. I know you got an opinion on that one.
Yeah, this is why I love doing your guys' show each week. I mean, I live for the games that I don't get a chance to talk to. And early in the week, UTEP was actually favored, a team that's lost 20 straight games.
I think they should be.
I agree with the line move. I do think UTEP's a better team, and they've been showing some things. I think UTEP's at least a touchdown, if not better, than what they were a year ago. UTEP's going to be a team that I'll probably buy next year. But you guys got it. The biggest pillow fight in college football this year so far. I agree with the line move. I think Rice should be a 1-point favorite. No bet for me, honestly, on this one. If I had to bet, though, I would bet UTEP.
Well, let's get into some of the bigger games, some the more important games. Michigan, 10.5 now. I got it at 9.5, and I don't know. It's opened at 10 and then dropped to 9.5. I don't know why. But I just think this is a spot where Michigan just rolls this Penn State team that I think is pretty fraudulent.
Yeah, I agree with you here. Now, I'm just not, built personally to lay, double digits in a big game spot here. But I think the only way to bet this game is Michigan. Why energy level? Penn State, their last four games, all decided by 6 points or less. That hasn't happened in Penn State football since 1894. Not 1994. 1894, four straight close games for them. Meanwhile, Michigan fresh off a bye And don't think for 1 second that Michigan and that defense doesn't remember what happened in state college last year where they allowed 42 points. Michigan with an axe to grind, the fresher team, they roll over Penn State.
What? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to ask about Alabama.
That's LSU. What I assumed you were going to ask. You just mentioned you don't like to lay big numbers in big games, and 14.5 certainly qualifies as a big number. Can I assume that you're on Tiger?
Yeah, you can. And here's one game we did discuss a lot on today's Straight Out of Vegas show. Look, we all agree that Alabama's clearly the best team in the country. But each and every week, Alabama's being priced as an historically great team. And I'm just not willing to say that right now with, you know, pounding my fist on the table that Alabama's the best team we've seen. Because who have they played? The two best teams they've arguably played, A&M and Missouri, both those games at home. At least we know what we've seen from what we got from LSU. They played five top 30 teams so far this season. If you're looking to bet LSU, I got a 66-1 trend in your favor. 66-1. It's LSU's last 67 home games. Only one time have they lost by more than 14 points. In fact, only one time by more than 10 points in their last 67 home games. Give me LSU plus the 14.5.
And maybe I'm a sucker again. I'm on the favorite in this one, Florida, Mizzou, Florida minus 6. I think people kind of got fooled last week by Missouri that, you know, it looked like they were going to win that Kentucky game. People are now thinking maybe they're just as good as Kentucky. I think that Missouri was just a really good matchup for Kentucky, a team that runs the ball almost exclusively, and Missouri stops the run exclusively. And I just feel like that trend of Drew Locke against good teams is going to continue, and he's going to struggle in this game. What are your thoughts on Florida Mizzou?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Maybe it's, I get the feeling that that's kind of a square take, but I think it's the only take here. I think we're getting some value from two fronts here. Number one, Missouri. Everyone talked about, and the Missouri fans complaining that Kentucky benefited from a questionable pass interference. I can tell you what wasn't questionable. Kentucky's defense dominating Missouri's offense in the second half. Missouri didn't even have a single first down. Not one in the second half. Kentucky deserved to win that game, especially if you look at the stats. Now, last week, Florida got beat on the scoreboard pretty bad against Georgia, but that one really came down to just a handful of plays. Georgia scored all four of their touchdowns on third down, so those are all, you know, theoretically speaking, four point plays for Georgia. And also, Georgia was plus 3 in turnovers, so I don't think Florida's as bad as that final indicated, and you mentioned it. Drew Locke against good teams. He's 0-9 against AP top 25 teams. Negative touchdown interception ratio in his career against Power 5 bowl teams. Don't trust Missouri against a good defense. Florida has one. I think the Gators roll in the swamp.
I know we've got you holding over late. Give me a quick take on a few Big 12 games. You can give me just one sentence on each if you want. Iowa State, Kansas, the Oklahoma versus Texas Tech, and then the Baylor-Oklahoma State game I find pretty intriguing.
Yeah, I'm going to lean with Iowa State, even though this is only the 11th time they've been a double-digit road favorite since 1980. But I love Matt Campbell, and I think long-term, that's one of the best coaches in the country.
They got a
lean
good squad.
Iowa State. Oh, they do. I mean, that's a team I don't want to play down the stretch, and a team I'll be looking to back in a bowl game this year. Love Iowa State. Oklahoma, I get the money coming in on them. Defense has shown improvement. I don't have a strong bet in it, just a lean on Oklahoma. But here's one where if their defense shows it again here against a legitimate offense against Texas Tech, I'm not sure that Oklahoma's not the third best team in the country if they're this much improved on defense.
Then the last one, Baylor, one of the worst teams against rush explosiveness. That's the only way Oklahoma State wins. It just seems like a really good matchup spot for Oklahoma State. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm just a little concerned because of the situational spot. Off a big upset win, you know, in front of primetime ABC lights last week against Texas, who's on deck? Oklahoma, Bedlam.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to lay more than a touchdown on the road. And I get it. Everyone's throwing Baylor in the trash after that blowout loss against West Virginia. I like Matt Rhule. I think he'll get the guys back up. I actually lean Baylor in that game.
One more. Last week, I think we were all on Texas A&M against Mississippi State. That didn't work out. Now they're getting points at Auburn. Do you have any thoughts on the Aggies this week?
Yeah, I don't mention it too much, but I did bet A&M earlier in the week plus 6. That early line was just wrong. Again, I think there's still some value on A&M. The game last week, I mentioned it earlier, just came down to 3-4 plays. All went against A&M. Not buying Gus Malzahn. I think he's the most overrated coach in the country. Kudos to his agent. Got him $43 million. But if you're backing Gus Malzahn, the last 60 games against the number, he's like 20 and 40 against the spread. Are you kidding me? Take it, A&M. I trust Jimbo.
All right, that's Brad Powers, and as you can hear, he is a genius. And you can check him out on Twitter at BradPowers7. He's a great follow. He's got tons of great stuff on pregame, and listen to the Straight Out of Vegas podcast when he's on there. Brad, appreciate the time, as always, my friend.
Hey, always a pleasure. Talk to you guys next week.
All righty.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about my computer career, and if your job's sucking the life out of you, wake up and change it. IT, you heard me. And I know what you're thinking. I'm not a math or a science guy. How am I going to do IT? They don't care about that because it's not rocket science. It's my computer career. And helping people start an IT career, that's their thing. If you don't absolutely love what you do, change it. Simple, right? Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Can't beat that. You attend classes on campus or live online just 2 or 3 times a week. You'll get everything you need to start your new career. And it's more than a school. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's MyComputerCareer.edu.
Sports talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store. This segment is brought to you by Carbach. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
Dude, my mind's made. We're back on the Blitz. Sorry. Having a little conversation here, which I almost dropped the word I wasn't supposed to because Eric Warner is here with us, and he brought beer, and we can drink beer today. This is too awesome. What's up, buddy?
How you doing? I'm glad to see you guys are back on the wagon or off the wagon. Or
back
whatever.
Off the wagon.
Yeah.
We're back to being degenerates, man.
You guys feeling better? Did it make a difference?
I lost 20 pounds.
You look it, man. You look a lot leaner, like fighting weight. Yeah.
Still a long way from fighting weight, but that's all right. I hope to never be at fighting weight again. Fighting weight was 185 pounds. That was like me barely able to walk. It wasn't good.
Yeah, you're probably going to be like the doctor will have told you got 6 months to live when you get to that weight.
That's
again.
What it looks like. Yeah.
So I'm still not going to be drinking on a regular basis. It's just stuff like this, and now and again on weekends, I'm cutting way back because I still have another 18 to lose. But progress is being made. It's a good thing.
Well, as I told you guys, I was up in Colorado last weekend, so I've got some alternative.
All right.
Thanks for you.
Hey, now.
The party can still go on.
Party goes on.
Yes.
It's not here in the building, of course. It's at a
undisclosed location. Yes.
That would never happen.
Yeah. No, never do that.
We noticed you didn't come by yourself today.
Yeah, so I have a very special, what do we call this, sub-guest? I don't know, but Neil Stewart is the VP of Marketing for Dogfish Head out of Delaware. And all you craft beer aficionados out there obviously know that brand, and Neil and I worked together at Flying Dog once upon a time. Say hi, Neil.
How's it going? Good to be here.
Yeah, so you're about to be part of the these guys' favorite session of the week next to RJ.
He's good.
So
he gives us more information than you.
How long have you guys known RJ?
At least seven years. Yeah, I think.
Before he was famous.
Yeah. Neil turned me on to RJ, I want to say, maybe even when we were still working together. How long ago was that? I want to say 10 years.
Ten years.
Because we used to look at this website called covers.com a lot, which is still out there. I still look at it occasionally. But he's like, and Neil would do these little, you know, tenth of a nickel plays or tenth of a dollar plays, and I'm doing like dollar and, you know, double dollar plays. And he's like, yeah, you got to look at this site. And it was like, oh my God, this is great. And
it's information.
Yeah.
Science.
Yeah. So we're degenerates from way back in the day.
So I think the funny thing is, like, when I first started at Flying Dog 10 or so years ago, the very first week that I worked there, it was basketball season. And I brought in that day, I was like, hey, I've got three picks off this website. I think it was pregame.com, which was RJ's website. And lo and behold, goes 3-0.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And I'm the new guy.
In forever.
And everyone's like, oh, yeah, new guy going 3-0.
Yep.
Game on. This guy knows basketball. And then we went like 0-9 after
that. That happens. That happens. So are you visiting from Delaware? Is that what's happening?
I live
here
in Delaware, Milton, Delaware. So I'm here visiting. I'm in graduate school at West Virginia University.
Okay.
We have a conference here tomorrow, and then we're going to the UT game in Austin.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, that'll be a good time.
The Mountaineers. Yeah.
You didn't just say that, did you, Neil?
Yeah, I did.
Wow, look at him. He's a brave man.
Yes, he is.
He's a brave man. Dogfish Head is... They are maybe the... I don't know if they still fall into this category, but 5 years ago when there were probably a third of the breweries there are now, they were like way out there with some stuff. They were doing things that nobody else would think about doing. I still think they do some things. Like, I'm not going to lie, I see some of y'all's bottles, I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound good at all. but there's something to being... guys who are willing to go out on a limb and be adventurous. And I think the Dogfish Head kind of leads the way, or at least did lead the way when it comes to that.
I mean, that's what we try to do. We try to blaze our own trail. We try to be innovators, not imitators. And so some of the beers that people might know are like 120-minute IPA, obviously 60-minute IPA.
With a number in minutes from Dogfish Head, I always tell people that's good.
But there were also a series of beers like our Ancient Ales series, which would be a little bit harder to find these days. But yeah, for Dogfish, it's all about innovating, not imitating.
And one of the one time I lost a bet and I had to chug a Worldwide Stout.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Which is I don't know what the ABV is.
15 to 18.
It was ridiculous, and it's a 12-ounce bottle. So you think, okay, I can handle that. But boy, that is a lot of punch in a small package there.
Yeah, that's a big beer.
Yeah, oh, that's good stuff though, man. Good stuff.
Is that what your wife says, AJ?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey now. Man,
tiny package, extremely small. I've lost 20 pounds. I was telling Fred, as you lose weight, it looks bigger.
I told him, I'm just glad I can see mine again.
Fred forgot he had a penis.
Yeah.
He thought he was just peeing out of like a gaping wound. He didn't know. It was... All right, Eric, tell us what we're sipping on here.
All right, so the first beer we had was our fresh hop off our innovation system. We used Loral hops, and we used some Mosaic. So it's a pale ale, literally just an old school pale ale. Lot of hop flavor in there. I mean, Neil and I have been sipping in that in the beer garden all day, and it's the only place you're going to get it is if you come to Foamhenge this weekend, and by then it might even be gone. So
it'd suck for you.
Yeah. Wet hop ale. So AJ, you're wincing at that one.
I like it.
You like that
it.
One?
Yeah, I had an
Fred,
itch
what
in
do you
ear.
Think of that
I
one?
I like it.
I mean, it's not, you know, I was saying to somebody
there's
earlier,
no bitterness. Like,
yeah, people, it's not overwhelming at all.
People think when you've got a hoppy beer, like you said, it's hop forward, that it's going to be bitter, and it's just not. It's almost got like, I don't know what kind of yeast you guys use. It's almost got sort of like a Belgian golden feel to it, just a little hoppier.
Good call. Yeah, and the thing is, with the wet hop beers, like the more of the wet hops you put in, you can start to get into the grassy realm, because these literally are like fresh off the vine. So, but the next one we have to try, let's get that best sound in the world going. Is the hazy. So we're calling this Fashionably Late. It's part of the Hop Delusion series, because, you know, we this is our foray into this. But we've got, I think we've got like 7 pounds per barrel of hops. You inspired me, AJ, when I was in here a month ago and you brought me that double dry hop ghost and you told me that that had 8 pounds per barrel. Yeah. I went back to my guys and I literally almost did that, like, slam the fist on the on the table thing. I'm like, what the heck, guys?
How come they can do this?
How come they're doing 8 pounds per barrel and we don't have that? We need to put more dry hops in this. And so it was. And so,
and that's this?
That is this.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, so we're about to try that next. But yeah. So
did that up the cost of
significantly?
Of each can? Yeah.
Yeah. Much to the chagrin of our accountant.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. He was just like, no, this isn't good.
How many pounds per barrel were you using?
I think we were at like 3.5 and we upped it to 6.5.
It's a pretty good jump.
Pretty big jump.
And did you taste it before and after the upgrade?
Yeah. And you know, part of the problem is when we're tasting these beers in the fermenter uncarbonated, they're not as expressive from a hop aroma standpoint as once they're carbonated and in the can. But still, it was good, but it wasn't like amazing. So it's like, yep, we gotta double down. And we gotta add more hops.
You guys hang around for one more segment?
Absolutely, Fred.
All right. Well, I have to tell you about my bookie, because you were talking about making college basketball plays. College basketball is about to crank right back up. And we know Hoffman loves that stuff. I got the Breeders' Cup this weekend. I'm gonna be hammering the horses. We also got NFL. We got colleges. I like to bet hockey, too. We got that. It's all on my bookie. And the best part about it is the in-game, man. If I get home a little bit later than I was expecting and I miss the start of the game, I can still jump in and play. And my favorite thing about my bookie is when I win, I actually get paid. There's so many of these websites that part of the gamble is putting your money in. That's not the case with my bookie. You win, they pay. That simple. All you got to do, get started today, and this deal's not going to last much longer. But go to mybookie.ag or Google MyBookie. Just Google MyBookie. It'll be the first thing that pops up. You can get your account started, and they're going to offer you, they're going to match your first deposit dollar for dollar. That's right, a dollar for dollar match on your deposit. Just use promo code radio to activate the offer. Just Google MyBookie today. That's MYBOOKIE. And don't forget to use code radio when you create your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One last segment to go, and it's a beer segment. Eric, you still got Foam Hinge tickets available, right? I mean, people
can
still
buy this. We do, yeah. I mean, this is our second annual event. I mean, A.J. was out there last year, and you know, you can attest to what a great it's kind of a more intimate concert event at Carbach, right? Like Love Street Music Fest is pretty big and kind of, you know, younger skew in terms of the musical acts. This is like something for us guys to go out and check out.
Middle-aged dudes,
you know. Yeah. And
we gawk at young women and, you know, that's what we do.
It's supposed to be a nice day on Sunday, beautiful day.
It's about time.
Yeah.
You know, the NFL slate this weekend too, it's just like nothing to get me super motivated.
You're not excited about Texans Broncos?
You know, I think it's obviously a
awkward.
Well, like one of the guys at the brewery said to me, this could be the first time in NFL history where a player is actually sleeping at home for an away game.
I don't know, it'd be the first time, but it wouldn't surprise
me. Memory for sure, but I mean, it's
actually that'll probably happen tonight with the San Francisco Oakland game.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
A lot of guys, yeah.
Almost the whole team would be my guess, but I don't know.
But I mean, that's what a garbage game tonight. Like, who cares?
Yeah, two 49ers with a backup quarterback. That's ugly.
Third string quarterback.
Yeah. Your thoughts on Case Keenum's season so far?
you know, it's
consistent.
Consistent, yes.
One interception per game.
Yes, yes. Well put. You know, I as a Bronco fan, I was actually kind of hoping that they would have gotten blown out on Sunday by the Chiefs, because then Joseph probably would have been shown the door, and, you know, we move on to the next chapter. But it's a mess right now. I mean, the cousin or the brother of Pat Bowlen is challenging the trust. You know, there's always been these rumors that Elway wants to, you know, put together an investment group to buy that team. You know, it's not good right now in Broncoland. So,
excuse me. Unlike
the Texans, I honestly might be getting on the bandwagon a little bit here, AJ. If Deshaun stays healthy, why not?
Here's my thoughts on that game in general, and this is why I think Denver's. I mean, obviously, everybody's looking at Denver and they're thinking, "Oh, that team sucks." You know, how could they? And the Texans have won 5 in a row. Think about who the Texans have played, and then think about who the Broncos have played. The Broncos have played Seattle, Baltimore, Kansas City, and the Rams. Kansas City twice. The Texans have had they've played one good team, and they lost to them, the Patriots, week 1. I mean, this is it to me. The Broncos are a lot more battle tested than these Texans, and the Texans have been winning coin flip games against bad teams. Last week, obviously. Different story, not a coin flip game. And I don't even think Jacksonville was really a coin flip game. But the three before that, I mean, it's a bad call by Frank Reich. And then there's a bad call by Jason Garrett. And, it's just, you know, a pick six by Nathan Peterman late in the fourth quarter. Those games could have gone either way. I don't know. I wouldn't count the Broncos out. I think they're a mess. But so are the Texans. I think that... Really, there's a good chunk of the league that's a mess. Besides, maybe 7 or 8 teams, there ain't a lot of good ones.
And that's why, AJ, I made the comment I did about this weekend's slate. I have no idea how to handicap it. Normally there's 1 or 2 games that like jump out at me every week, but I mean, there's just a lot of these, you know, kind of teams playing teams, and it's like I'm not touching that, right?
Right.
You know, it's like I want clear trend lines. You know, who's going up, who's going down. Boom, let's play that, or some, you know, clear lines that are like sort of. But I just don't like any of it. So yeah, come out to Carbach, Foam Henge. We've got some great. We're gonna have some special beers on tap for the VIP
that we can only get at Foam Henge, and only with the VIP tickets.
Yeah, those ones I just handed to you,
right in my hand.
Those guys, yeah.
Guess who these are for? Not the listeners. They're for me.
Yeah. Well, did
and me. I got mine.
Did the marketing? So Team Warehouse obviously like did their thing finally.
Didn't drink
our
beer.
They actually had a tag on there.
Didn't we drink our beer. Yeah, good job, Team Warehouse. I like how they dated it to make sure nobody jacked with it.
Yeah. But like you would have thought that Team Marketing would have given me a couple of, in fact, Fred or AJ, that pair that you guys have of VIPs.
Yeah.
You need to give one of those away tomorrow. I will get another pair for you guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Team Marketing should have given me like some VIPs.
If they're not all gone, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah.
They're never all gone, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to overcrowd the VIP because then it becomes the general area.
Well,
I'm not hanging out with all those pores. Yeah,
and I want the wife or the side piece to have a good time. So whichever one comes, I mean,
I don't want everybody to drink the same good beer that I'm drinking. I want the fancy secret beer while they drink on Love Street.
Yeah. Well, you guys are in no matter what, you know.
Okay.
That.
All right.
So I don't think we have anything you're saying to worry about there.
You want to let 2 extra randos into the VIP area.
Well, I think John can kind of, you know, screen. And make sure these are...
Yeah, make sure it's a cool blitzer.
Make sure it's a...
Appropriate randos.
Blitzer.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like somebody that's a loyal fan.
Someone who's very loyal. Like D-cup loyalty we're looking for.
He just wants you to do Harley Davidson. Oh, he's not paying any attention.
Fine. All right, Eric. We'll see you at Foam Henge. Thanks. And we'll see you out here in a couple weeks. For your next appearance. And
thanks, guys.
Sir. Thank you. All right, guys, I got to tell you about Republic Harley Davidson. Get on down to Republic today. See why they are Houston's number one Harley dealer. Over 200 bikes in inventory, the best customer service rating in the state. They're the best choice, and it's not even close. The staff is friendly, reliable, experienced, well-trained in every department. They're now open Monday, so they're now open 6 days a week to better serve you. You get double points in all departments on Mondays, only at Republic. And you might be thinking, man, I haven't rode in a while. It's been, I don't know. Well, they've got classes for you. They've got classes if you're a new rider. You don't know how to ride, they don't care. They'll teach you how. They've got the largest selection of 2018s and 19s in Houston. They've got the ride you're looking for, guys. Whatever color, whatever model, whatever options, they've got you covered. Come out and see them. Let them show you why they are Houston's number one dealer. Stop in and visit today, 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, or always open at republichd.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.